Introduce my mom, Dana.
I'm an addict. My name is Dana. Welcome to CPCR CNA 29. Miracles beyond measure. Before we start, I'd like to thank God for everything. Real quick, I was introduced to this program in 1987. I sat in the back of the room. I said, "Yeah, right, stay away from me. I'm good." In 1990, I got clean for the first time, and the first meeting that I attended became my home group. 25 years later, it's still my home group. I want to thank you, my guests, for keeping the door open. Because my home never left. I did. But it stayed there and waited for me. So I'm the daughter of a redneck tobacco farmer, and I say that with love. He died as a direct result of this disease. I grew up in the midst of a lot of confusion and contradiction and, you know, good people. They give you the shirt off their back. Worked hard, loved hard, and drank hard. So, anyway, I rolled out. My parents split up. My daddy abandoned me completely, and he was my hero. And so, when that happened, I didn't need you to abandon me anymore. I abandoned myself. So my mom hooked up with this real great guy, and he molested me, and my spirit just broke. So I just ran away from me. I became a working girl at 17 and a stripper up in D.C. on Capitol Hill. And, you know, I thought I had it cinched then because, like, I knew how to get the power back. You ain't gonna break me. Because I got something you want. You know, the addiction, you know, was well on its way. So when I got to the room, see, I was still running. I got clean, and I thought that the solution was, and what y'all expected of me was that now, as long as I could look good and sound good and be good, then it was good. And what I learned was, like, once the drugs were gone, like, you know, the disease really showed up. Clean and crazy. Still using men, using the newcomer, right? Because I was like addict, save a woman, you know, save an addict, you know, superwoman. I'd be having all the newcomers, dragging them off the street, bringing them in my house, living with my children. Crazy. Give me another one. And I was still looking for daddy. So I would pick my daddy over and over and over again. Because I expected you to fix me. I expected you to love me, to make it right for me. You know, I transferred all that stuff, that abandonment, like, you owe me something. That's a lot of spiritual principle in that, right? And You know, the first thing my daughter said to me this morning was, I'm going to need you to just get gut level honest up in here today, Mom. So I said, okay. My friend that I work with, we spoke, the first person I spoke to this morning, thank you for your support and your love always, Elliot. And he said, well, you know, what you going to do, baby girl? I said, well, I'm just going to show up as me and tell the truth. You know, because, I mean, as long as I tell my story, I mean, I don't have to worry about thinking about it. I just, you know, just tell the truth. So it's always good enough. So I'm crazy, and I'm not using, and, you know, drugs wasn't really the problem. And I couldn't understand that. So eventually, when, you know, I got all that money and all that power and all that prestige, and I come from a small area, so like if you had 3 years in NA back then, you were like a guru, right? You know, there was like 8 people in the room on a good night. And, you know, so like it was just not a healthy thing. I wasn't healthy, and I didn't deal with the steps. And I ran from anybody who told me the truth, you know. Thank God, old timers. Thank you for telling me the truth 25 years ago. Like, you planted the seed, and I didn't pick it up until 15 years later, but it doesn't matter. My heart has always been with the newcomers, so I want to tell y'all are our most precious gift. And if I can say anything that reaches out and touches one addict that helps them get one day clean, then that's good enough. So after having done an inventory and I'm walking around, I'm hanging on to this fourth step, you know, and I like to be with everybody else's man, you know, like, because that gave me power too in the room. So I didn't want my own man, I just wanted yours. And so I thought I was special if I could get yours. And then I realized later, after the fact, that if I could get yours, I didn't get much. So anyway, I'm acting out one more time, right? And I'm sleeping with 3.5, 4 years to me, sleeping with my youngest daughter's grandmother's man. Today's just for today was I understand. I understand, y'all. Because see, at that point I'm like with this fourth step and my sponsor had relapsed and I ran to this lady, Jackie B. She had just come down from D.C. to our area, and I said, I need you to help me. So I did my fifth step with her, and I noticed she was writing down something. And I'm like, So when I got done, I'm looking, and she moved the paper over to me, and you know what she put on the top of that page? Self-righteousness. And I immediately thought, who does this woman think she is? She don't know me like that. But she did. Judgmentalness. Pain, y'all, you know. I couldn't stand myself, but I was always blaming you. It was your fault. It was his fault. It was her fault. And look at this one over here, cutie on duty. Who does she think she is? Right. You know how we forget, you know, because I thought I was cute too. Anyway, so it's this step, like the seventh step, like I tried not to think about it because I'm like, I don't want to think about it. I tried to read so I could sound good. And I'm like, just show up. Just share. You know, so I'm going to talk about men because, you know, that's probably my favorite topic. It's what I know a lot about. So I came back in here with this vengeance. I hate it all, y'all. I don't want nothing to do with no more, y'all. Just stay away from me. You know, hated them, you know. And being a working girl, right, for like a decade, You already know what you know. Okay? And you know, but like I wasn't willing to let y'all off the hook. And then I, like, when I started working the seventh step, when it started, like, really concentrating on that, like, I realized some things, like, that I had been just as noncommittal, you know, and just as unworthy. And who was I, really? I understand. And so, it's like, I spent half my life hating y'all. What I really needed to admit to was that I couldn't stand myself, you know. And that's how my true addiction. The disease wants me to look at the problem. It wants me to feel like, not that I did something wrong, but that I am something wrong. It always tries to pull that card on me. You know, you ain't enough. Or you're just way too good, you know. It's like, never, where's the balance, you know, and that's like the steps. And God. And others. And, you know, I want to talk about, my whole family's here. Everybody that's left. And, you know, I became orphaned in my first year clean. My mother died. My father died. My little brother had already died of the disease of addiction. And my father, he died as a direct result, as I shared. And, you know, I felt very alone, but I had a home. So I want to tell y'all newcomers, if you're new and you don't have a home group, please get one so that you'll never have to be homeless again. And, because that home was there when I needed it. One of the most painful turning points in my life in recovery was when my oldest daughter was using, and I was in denial, like a good addict, you know. No, it couldn't be that. No, she's not doing that. She's okay. She's smarter than me. She, as if that had anything to do with it, right? And so, you know, everybody was telling me, and I wasn't believing it, but she was truant all the time. And you know, being from the background that I was from and being out there in the street with, like, people, like, with names like Jiller and Hutt, you know, and Cur Dog, you know, and GC, and, you know, like, I learned some things out there. Like, we knew, we solved problems by, like, we used our hands, you know. And my father, he used his hands. And so here I am clean, and my daughter's using, and I can't face that, and I don't know what to do. And so I keep putting my hands on her. And then I go to a meeting. And I feel like so ashamed and so dirty. And, you know, I'm sick and I'm tired. And you know, I'm just all pained up. And, like, you know, I'm sharing about that. And I would call my sponsor and she would say, "It's praying time." Oh, like for 5 years, I swear to God, all Jackie really said to me was, "It's praying time." And then finally I got to the point where I was like, "Dad, go on, is that all you got?" You know, so God bless you, Jackie. And you know, so she's telling me to pray. And like, I'm tired, y'all. I call the police and I throw water on her and I'm screaming and cussing and yelling. I'm fight duking it out with her. And oh my God, this is not recovery. And so here I am at my grandmother's kitchen table in my house, gripping white knuckling, right, like just hanging on and saying, "Please, God, don't let me put my hands on my daughter today. Please, help me." And that was my first experience with working the seventh step. And I had to continuously do that day after day, month after month, and year after year.
So one day, God said, just let go. My grandbaby was 2 months old. And my daughter and her were in the basement. You know where we used to hide all the attics back in the 60s? They didn't talk about that. Oh, just leave your cousin alone. He'll be fine. And I said, I just can't take this. And I said, please, God, speak through me and give me the courage and the strength to do what I know that I need to do. The same thing that my mother did for me at 28. I'm going to need you to go. And I watched my daughter take my little first and only grandbaby out that front door. And even my sponsor said, ooh, you can't do that to the girls. I said, you know what? I know that God ain't got no grandchildren. He ain't got no stepchildren. I had a God that saved me through everything, and so does she. So I had to trust that. I had to stop enabling. I had to stop crippling. I had to stop denying. I had to just look at the reality of what it was, that this disease is going to down to another generation, and I'm powerless over that fact. So, you know, when she closed the door, my knees buckled. And my face hit the wood floor, and I screamed in pain. But I was willing to take responsibility, because it wasn't mine. So she lived two streets down for about 6 months. I knew she was putting a needle in her arm, and I just kept driving past. And I made my life a prayer around that. I made my whole life a prayer around that. And then one day, when she was ready, she didn't call Mama. But there had been this little newcomer that had been in my house like 3-4 years before this, and they had made friends, and she was able to call her. What a beautiful program. Who would have thought? How do you measure that? Seventh tradition. She's clean today. Look, y'all. Yeah. I don't know. I've been dragging my babies to meetings for 25 years. I don't know any other way to do it. So when we show up like a tribe, you know. Oh, here come they around them girls. Thank y'all for putting up with my ass. I'm telling you. I'm just, whatever. But anyways, it's only through the grace of God, the program of Narcotics Anonymous, and the fact that one addict believed in me and really wanted to help. Thank you, Shirley W. I understand. So the seventh tradition is like the money tradition. And I came from like a lot of money. And I made a lot of money. Look, I couldn't be a working girl in St. Mary's County, man. They didn't have enough money down there, man. I had to go to D.C. I wasn't confused about that. I heard them girls are making like $1,000 an hour. Wow. Whew. Anyway. So, I want to talk about like God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. This time when I got clean, like I jumped up in the middle of this thing. And I bought into this program. And I lived this program to the best of my ability. Like I showed up, warts and all. I did made a lot of mistakes. Never going to be perfect. But I kept coming back and I kept coming back. And I went to school. When I turned 43, I went back to school. And I didn't know where God was leading me to. And I really don't know what He's got in store for me yet. But, you know, like, I learned how to work with the seventh step by becoming responsible and committed in my home group. And we learned the principles of prudence and simplicity and putting our needs before our wants. What's our primary and most precious purpose? And is everything that we do for the sole purpose of that end? So, you know, I was taught that when you work the traditions, you not only work them in the program, but you bring them home with you. Right? So the old timers, they taught me just to bring it home. You know, practice that principle of unity. Practice prudence, self-discipline, simplicity, so that we can remain free. Because if we don't remain free, then we're enslaved again. So, you know, God knew what He was doing. He made it so like Dana Brown was like not going to make any money. I mean, it was just digging the couch, y'all, you know, for like 10 years. And I didn't think it would ever be any different. And today, like, this is the first time in 25 years that I've been able to set aside, plan for, and have the ability to take all my daughters to Ocean City. And that's big for me. You know, because, I mean, we've been in the hoods, y'all. You know, it ain't that easy. I watched all these other members getting all these new cars and bling blings and, you know, all hooked up and trying to fix the inside problem with the outside stuff. You know, and like, damn, it looked good. But I just said, you know what, just whatever your will is, God, let me just keep focused on that. Just whatever you want me to do today, God, give me the courage and the strength to do that. It's just that simple. So like, I'm never going to be rich. I don't even care. Because this program has blessed me with more than any amount of money can buy. Ever. I understand, Daddy. I understand, Mama. Mike, I understand, man. No. Elliot, I understand. I ain't trying to be real fancy up in here, man. You know, I was clean and crazy. I had absolutely no acceptance of anyone or anything, and most of all, not myself. I couldn't endure anything without protesting about it. How are you gonna? I love this program. I owe my very life to it. And as long as y'all put up with me, I promise you, I give you my word that I will keep coming back. I'm Dana. I'm an addict. And thank you.